New Xbox allegedly exists. Gaming handhelds that aren't the Steam Deck hopefully don't have to suck as much. And the PS5 Pro, your PC wishes it could. Let's get into the hot news, everybody. I'm your Brett host. We're going to be going over the hottest tech news I can find on the internet while you enjoy your breakfast this Thursday, March 21st, 2024. We're going to start off today with the first batch of console news that's coming out, which is that Xbox has a dev kit that's brand new that got certified over in South Korea. And we don't know much more about it besides the fact that it's new and it exists. Now, there's plenty of rumors circulating about what this could possibly be. Is this going to be something that's going to compete with the PS5 Pro in a higher-end Series X? Phil Spencer has already publicly stated that the Series X is their mid-gen refresh, so he doesn't think they're going to do it. But then there was also some indications from the Microsoft-Activision merger documents that there potentially is a mid-series refresh coming. It's not 100% clear, but there's also speculation that it could be an Xbox Series X without a disk drive. It could be the Xbox gaming handheld that could be coming out. Nobody really knows, but it's interesting that with a lot of the PS5 Pro news that's coming out that we'll talk about towards the end of hot news, that there's also one from Microsoft as well. So we'll keep you updated as we hear more about it. But one of the things that I just heard about is in place of today's video sponsor, and that is the Just Giving Awards have just opened their nominations. You may remember that the Cannonball for the Cure that we've done for the last few years is run through Just Giving's website, and I found out about this because people had already been nominating our charity event for the Just Giving Awards. One of the reasons why I'm bringing this up is because I'm going to ask you guys to nominate the Cannonball for the Cure, not because I want to receive any kind of award, but just to get Syngap's name out there into the public, recognizing your efforts and the team's efforts of putting on the event, every parent that sacrifices in order to donate to it, anybody who actually helps out, the corporate sponsors. I feel like it's a celebration for everybody who participates in the Cannonball and is a great thing for Syngap Research Fund and the team that's trying to find paths forward for our children can just hold on to and say, yes, we are doing really cool things in the community. So what I'm specifically asking for is that you head on over to the page for nominations and nominate the Cannonball for the Cure for the creative fundraiser of the year. I think that's the one that best aligns with what we did, and you can head on over to the link that's in the video description in case you watch the Cannonball, in case you can give a really good summary of why you think it's creative, why you think it matters, and what, you know, UFD Tech and this community here means to you. It would mean a lot to us as well, and there's a refresher page on what we did for the Cannonball, but I just am thankful for everybody who participates in these events with us. It means a lot to do them, and if we can get an award for it, I don't particularly care for the award, but more just the celebration of what everybody accomplishes together. That matters a lot to me. And if, you know, we don't end up actually winning anything, we still obviously accomplished so much for my son's future and everybody else involved in Syngap Land. So it's linked in the video description in case you want to check it out. But what I do want to check out is Playtron OS. You might be saying, hey, that sounds like some Linux thing. And it is, because Playtron has announced that they got $10 million in funding to be able to find how to make a Linux operating system for gaming handhelds that's not locked down like Steam OS is, so you can support things like Epic Games and other stores, but doesn't suck as much as Windows on handhelds does. When you're using an ROG Ally or Legion Go, you'll quickly realize this operating system is the limiting factor here, not necessarily the power of the handheld itself. I would love this. The founder behind this is also the founder behind CyanogenMod, which never really latched onto mainstream appeal. Maybe this could potentially do it. I'm excited to at least consider it. I would love to see Playtron OS be an alternative to Steam OS. I think Steam OS is great, and as soon as Valve finds a way that they can open it up so that it can be installed on desktop PCs and on other handhelds, I think Linux gaming will continue to rise in popularity. But in case another company can do it as well, I'm happy with that. There was a lot of discussion recently on social media about the fact that Steam has an effective, maybe not a monopoly, but a significant market share when it comes to everybody who's playing games on PCs, and that isn't necessarily a good thing, especially when you look at other companies. But because people believe in Gabe Newell and the vision and the way that he's run Valve up until this point, people are like, I can accept that they hold most of the market share until, you know, he passes or he stops working at the company, and like, then just who is it beholden to, and what's going to happen at that point? Competitors, still a good thing, at least in my book, so I'm excited for Playtron. I want to see where it goes. Let me know what you think of it while Reese lets us know about the deals.
Yo, welcome back to UFD Deals, bringing the hottest tech deals out on the internet, and hey, deals. Starting off today, we have the Summer 2x8-pin ARGB power extension cable for only $27.99, making it $42 off. Then next up, we have this AOpen 15.6-inch 1080p portable IPS monitor for a very nice price of $69.99. And then lastly, we have the gorgeous Fantex Evolve Shift XT Mini ITX case for only $99.99 with included promo code plus a $30 rebate, bringing your total off to $70. And hey, with that, the deals are done. You can find these and more linked in the video description down below. But until next time, I'm going to hand you off back to Brett for the rest of your hot news. Cheers.
Well, Reese, $15,000 to build an AMD AI machine seems like a deal of some kind, but the company that's making it, Tinybox, decided that AMD, they poo-pooed. Even though they said that they were going to charge a lot of money to release these AMD AI machines, AMD does things bad, so they're not going to do it anymore unless they comply with their demands by the end of the week. George Hotz behind Tinybox discussed that there's a lot of limiting factors when it comes to using AMD for whatever they're doing with this AI box that they're trying to sell, but they're just running into driver issues and problems that are cropping up that make it very difficult for them to create this all-in-one solution that they're trying to make for machine learning farms and AI acceleration. So it has 6 7900XTX and a 12U rack, but one of the things that was discussed, which I saw this floating out in the news stories last week with regards to, there was like some indication that AMD is going to finally make their Radeon software open source. Their drivers are going to be completely open source. Everything's going to be great. And then it turns out that AMD is not necessarily abiding by the things that George Hotz and the team at Tinybox want, so they're going to switch to Intel or NVIDIA because it's better for AI. Speaking of NVIDIA and their AI stuff, GTC is still happening. It wasn't just the keynote where they unveiled the gigantic chip. Jensen's still giving some speeches about how great he is and how great this company that he built is, including giving some prognostications about the future of AI, discussing the fact that fully AI-generated games could be happening in 5 to 10 years. Artificial general intelligence could potentially be 5 years away, so that could be cool to have AI that learns on itself and then is no longer under our control because it can consume whatever it wants and teach itself whatever it wants. So that's neat to see. Also being discussed is the fact that Jensen kind of did give a price for their Blackwell GPUs. He indicated that'd be between $30,000 to $40,000 as the cost. This was in an interview with NBC, but the problem with that is that he then went on to clarify, well, that's just kind of like an estimate, and really, like, we're not selling the GPUs directly, we're selling the whole experience. So, like, this is going to be a per consumer basis, which is what I discussed yesterday in Hot News, that like this is really going to be about how much are companies willing to pay for it and how much are they willing to suckle on the breath of everything glorious that comes out of Jensen's mouth, because that's what it takes to be an NVIDIA first adopter these days. And we got to adopt the rumors about the PlayStation 5 Pro, because there were details that were coming out over the weekend from companies like Insider Gaming as well as several other sources talking about what is going to be in the PlayStation 5 Pro, specifically when it comes to PlayStation Spectral Super Resolution and the goals that Sony is setting for this console and what it can perform like. So all of that came out, kind of just speculation, but then Digital Foundry, who's a well-established figure in the scene, comes out and confirms that they've seen these documents and they are confirming that these rumors are indeed true. And there's also some reports that Sony is launching an internal investigation to find out who's actually leaking all of this, and they could potentially be tightening up how they divulge information to third-party game publishers because they believe that's potentially where it came from. But so Sony wants their Spectral Super Resolution to be able to deliver 4K 60 or 8K 30, which are great numbers, and you think those are amazing, but the problem is that that's what they want the Super Resolution to achieve. That's not what the hardware is going to be capable of being able to drive. So in some examples that they gave to different gaming outlets, right now a PlayStation 5 can hit 1080p 60fps. The PS5 Pro would be able to do 1440p at 60fps with using the PlayStation Spectral Super Resolution, which is a mouthful and a half. And then there was an additional game where they showed that you can get 1080p 60fps with a regular PlayStation 5, but then if you add in ray tracing, the PS5 Pro will be able to maintain that frame rate even with ray tracing turned on. So it seems like this is going to be a modest upgrade, like 1440p 60fps versus 1080p 60fps. I believe that's a 1.67 times increase in the resolution. It does take a lot to drive 1440p 60fps over 1080 60fps, but it's not necessarily going to be perfect for 4K gaming like a lot of higher end PCs are right now. But this is still going to, comparatively to most people's PCs, especially if you look at something like the Steam Hardware Survey, absolutely blow it out of the water. There's going to be a couple tweaks on the CPU side. The Spectral Super Resolution appears to be driving it, but it's also going to be done in a much lower wattage package than what you find in gaming PCs. We're expecting the PlayStation 5 Pro to launch probably around 4 years after the PlayStation 5, so roughly November of this year. And based on the pricing that we've seen with the PlayStation 5 itself, the PS5 Pro should fall in line with exactly where the PS4 Pro came in at that $499 price point. Yes, that's currently where the PS5 is, but the PS5 also had a $399 price point. I could potentially see it get bumped up to $600, but for $600, it's going to be very difficult for you to be able to find and build a worthwhile competitor on the PC side. I still feel like when the PS5 and the Series X launched for $500 and $400 respectively, getting a PC at the time to match that was difficult. It's still difficult to this day. And then a PS5 Pro, if you add in $100 more and you're getting 1440p 60fps, it's a little bit of a tricky situation. I'm curious to see how this plays out. People are comparing it to like an RX 6800 is where the PS5 Pro is going to fall in line. And that GPU is like $400 by itself. If you add in an 8-core, 16-thread CPU on top of that, a power supply, a case, a motherboard, and some RAM, and you're already out the door. It's already far exceeding whatever you're getting on the console side. This is an interesting situation we're in. At least towards the end of the PS4 and PS4 Pro's life cycle, you could definitely match those things with PC equivalent hardware at the same price point. But I'm not seeing that with this generation. But I'm gonna see your comments now. Let's do some comments. Response from yesterday's episode. Not interested in the most upvoted comment from yesterday, saying AMD found a new path tracing method. Basically, we had to rewrite code from scratch because the old code didn't work. Honestly, props to them. That takes some serious time and money. That if you're talking about the work graphs thing that I was talking about, that's not what they disclosed at all. Work graphs is a feature that was built into DX12, and it's not necessarily something that AMD is inventing. This is something that Microsoft worked to implement into DX12, and now NVIDIA and AMD are finding ways to make sure that their GPUs can execute it and work with game developers to implement it. None of what you said was what I went back and watched. I definitely did not even mention path tracing at all. It has to do with shaders and mesh shaders to some extent, but not path tracing. So big upvotes on a comment that I'm really confused about. Now we got Hell's a Poppin' say 208 billion transistors. As someone who tinkered with basic electronics from Radio Shack as a kid decades ago, that number blows my mind. I gotta say, you should probably schedule your colonoscopy, my guy. Then we got Frame Sharma asking, what did you do with the Framework 16? Absolutely nothing. It has literally been sitting back here since the last time I showed it off. I did get new RAM for it because I forgot that I didn't buy RAM for it, but the RAM is not installed. I've been out at the hospital, out sick, and I don't know what to do with it. It's a cool idea. I like Framework. I wanted to support them, but I've got other things that I'm getting to right now, so the Framework is just kind of sitting idly by right now. And then we got Stranger Granger saying, make PSVR 2 compatible with PC VR and I'll buy one. And I saw a couple of other people in the comments discuss the fact that if the PSVR 2 finally does get PC support, that this will make it so that it's super popular and amazing, which I'm not sure it's gonna help. Like, obviously, it will give more features to the PSVR 2, but for $550, you can buy the Quest 3, which has competitive specs in a lot of different ways, and then also doesn't require you to always be physically tethered, has a battery. If you wanna drop $500 on a headset that is compatible with the PC, that already exists. I feel like opening it up for PC VR just allows Sony to drop support entirely and then be like, you can still use it, just not with us. Bye. And I'm also saying bye because hot news is over. I'll see you back here for more tomorrow.